Psalms 26, please. All right. I want to just begin reading. We'll read the whole psalm, all right? Why don't you stand? You've been sitting a while, and we'll read the Word of God and then pray and preach, all right? Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity, have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. Father in heaven, it's good to be at Blessed Hope Baptist Church with Pastor Ross. And I pray again, Lord, you know I want to be a blessing and help, and I pray that you'd help me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts tonight. May we go home from church tonight and say, boy, it's been good to be in the house of God, and I pray that you speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reminded, I was reading and having my devotions, and I don't know, preacher, you know what it's like, and all of a sudden, bing, 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 you get out, you get the message, and you have to. I grab a pad and just start writing, and then I have to organize it because it gave me this message several months ago, and so I saw some things in here that helped me, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I know this, that it says here, judge me, verse number one, judge me, O Lord, and then he says in verse number two, examine me. Now, I know that the Bible speaks much of me examining my heart. For instance, I know in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says that we ought to examine ourselves that we're in the faith. In other words, make sure you're saved. And you are the only one, other than God, that knows whether you're saved or not. Now, we can see and believe and listen to you and hear your testimony and believe that, but we don't know, or we have no way of really, really knowing that you really know the Lord as your personal Savior. But I do, and I know I'm saved. I got saved 49 years ago, July 2nd, 1961. I got saved, and I know I'm saved. I know that I know that I know that I know that I know I'm saved. Thank God. I can't wait for the Lord to come, and I have no doubt whatsoever, and I have never, by the way, I've never had doubt. I have questioned my salvation, went back and checked it out and all that, just like I said, examine yourself, but I've never walked around and said, oh, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I'm glad that it says in 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse number 5, that salvation comes with much assurance. Somebody said one time, if you can be saved and not know it, you can lose it and never miss it. Right? If you can be saved and not know it, you can lose it and never miss it. But the real fact is, you can know that you know that you know. And I'm glad. I know that God saved me, and I'm thankful for that. I know in Lamentation 3:40, it said, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. And I can check myself out, and I can check my ways and check my walk and check my life, check my heart, and I can examine myself and really. And by the way, I know whether I'm spiritual or not. And I'm really as spiritual as I want to be. And you're as spiritual as you want to be. But the real truth, you're the only one that really knows how spiritual you really are, other than God. And we need to really take a look at our hearts and make sure that we are what we know we ought to be. We may fall short, but we know in our heart we want to please the Lord in everything we say and do. And then Psalms 51, we find where David had sinned and with Bathsheba, and he was getting right in Psalms 51. And he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And he went on examine. He said, cleanse me, O Lord. And he felt like he's dirty and his sin was ever before him. And he'd lost his joy of his salvation and all that and so on. And he got right with God, and I believe, in that psalm. And you know whether you're right with God or not. You know whether you have confessed your sin and you're now walking with a clean heart before the Lord day by day, moment by moment. You know whether you are or not. See? And it's good for us to examine ourselves. Don't you think we ought to just walk with the Lord moment by moment and keep our hearts right all the time? And so you know if you have unconfessed sin in your life. And so we can examine ourselves, and I know what's going on. And by the way, I think in order for us to say what this psalmist said, judge me, O Lord, and examine me, O Lord, we better do a real good checkup of our own life before we go, Lord, because here's what he's saying. He said, check me out, Lord. Come on, check me out. Look at my life. I open it up. Check me out. Examine me, Lord. And really, he's telling God, he said, God, go ahead and check me out. As far as I know, I'm trying to do everything right, and I'm trying to walk with you and trying to be what I'm supposed to be. And I said, well, that's something, and I thought about doing that. And I thought about that's what that psalmist is doing. And I thought, boy, am I willing to do that? Am I really to open my heart and say, go ahead, Jack, Lord, check that out. Check that out. Examine me. Am I willing to open up my whole heart house to God and see if I'm willing to allow God to put his finger on something in my life and I'm willing enough to take care of it? See, we have a problem, I think, sometimes of selective Christianity. We want to select what we give instead of doing what God said about giving. We want to select what sins to confess rather than really confessing all of our sins. We want to select who we love. We want to select where we serve. We want to select. We want to do that. And our attitude, if we're not careful, is, God, you tell me what you want me to do, and I'll let you know whether I do it or not. Huh? But here, he's not saying that. He said, here am I, Lord, check me out. As far as I know, I'm as surrendered as I need to be. And it's also interesting what he says in that, because notice, if you would, in verse number 1, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. So when he's saying, Lord, check out my walk. Check out my walk. What's my walk? See, I wish I'd written down. Somebody said one time, our walk needs to match our talk. Our walk needs to talk louder than our talk, you know, something like that. And I thought, how important my walk is, my testimony. People are watching me. And that's what they see, my walk. And didn't it say in Matthew 5 that we ought to walk in righteousness and everything? Everybody, the lost people might see our works and our walk, and we glorify God. So it's important. What he says, in mine integrity. Well, I looked that up in the Strong's Concordance, which is a dictionary for the Greek text, as well as an old Webster dictionary. And both of them said the exact same thing, which they ought to, by the way. Okay? And it says that here's what mine integrity. He said, I walk uprightly, perfect, in innocency, soundness of character, moral wholeness, and some of the synonyms are honesty and integrity and entirety and completely and purely. Wow. He's saying, God, check me out. Check my walk. Do I walk in my integrity? I walk, and look at it. Isn't it honest? Don't I have soundness of character? Isn't there moral wholeness? And am I walking uprightly and perfect? Check my walk out. I wonder if we'd be willing to do that tonight. How about just doing that tonight? How about you joining me in as I preach this message? Let's just lift our hearts to God and say, go ahead, check me out, Lord. Check me out. Check my walk out. I wonder if we could check our walk in our home. Hold your hand here and go to Psalms 101. Psalms 101. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Watch this now. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. And when wilt thou come unto me? I will, watch this, walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. You know, that's a pretty good testimony about our homes, isn't it? Would we be willing to say, go ahead, God, look in my home. Look at how I walk as a daddy. Look at how I walk as a father. Look at how I walk as a mother. Look how I walk as a wife. Look in my home. Lord, go ahead and check me out. Don't I walk perfect? Don't I walk in my integrity in my home? Are we willing to do that tonight? Huh? In the privacy of our home, what kind of Christian are we in the privacy of our home? What kind of walk do we have? And he's saying, Lord, I've walked in the integrity of my heart. I walk, and here he's saying, I walk within my house in the integrity, and I walked with a perfect heart. Wow, pretty good, isn't it, huh? Are we willing to do that? I thought about, how about at work? When I got saved, I was working at Ford Motor Company. And I got saved on Sunday morning, 10 minutes after 12. And I went to work on Monday, and I was working days. I worked Monday morning. And now, all of a sudden, here's this little guy had, I mean, they, everybody knew Fred Schindler was not religious and didn't, it had nothing to do with God and would cuss out anybody talking about God. And I went in there, and there were Christians that worked in there and witnessed to me. Thank God for those who witnessed to me. And I went in, and I went over to the place where I work, and I worked in the armature line. And right there was a whole bunch of armatures on a rack and everything. And I looked at the rack, and there was a guy, we called him Bones, but his name was John Elford Williams. And so I said, hey, we called him Bones. I said, hey, Bones. He said, yeah. I said, hey, somebody went to church yesterday. He said, who did? I said, I did. He said, praise the Lord. I said, hey, Bones. He said, what? He said, I said, somebody got saved at church yesterday morning. He said, who did that? I said, I did. He said, praise the Lord. Wow. Man, I went out at break when all the guys used to go out break with, guys used to gamble with, cuss with, tell dirty stories, and all the rest that goes with all that wicked life. And I was sitting there at the picnic table drinking a cup of coffee with them on break, and they were cussing and talking like they always talk and whistling at women and everything. And all of a sudden, I got my head down at the table, and I said, man, alive. Man. This is really... they take the Lord's name in vain. Ooh, here I'm just saved. I mean, I haven't been saved. I don't think I haven't been saved 24 hours yet. And I said, I got up and I said, guys, I said, I got saved at church yesterday, and I didn't know what to say. I think I just turned around and walked away. And they just sat there. Boy, did they watch me after that? Huh? And you know what? It's important how we live our life in the presence of others, especially in a place of work where they see us all the time. Well, I wonder if we could lift our hearts up and say, go ahead, God, check my work life out. Check the walk I have where I'm working and the people around me and see me every day. Check me out, Lord. Check me out. Do I walk with integrity? Do they hear a Christian? Do they see a Christian? Check me out. Would we be willing to do that tonight? I thought about not only the home and the work, but at play. You know, it's funny how many times people go and their entertainment is like a vacation and they get a vacation from God. Our entertainment or our vacations, wherever we go for play, ought to be godly too. I think the Lord knows whether we went to church when we went on vacation or not. I think the Lord knows whether we read our Bibles when we were on vacation. I think the Lord knows whether we prayed when we were on vacation. The Lord knows what we watch, what we listen to, all that. Can we say, go ahead, God, check me out. Go ahead and check my radio on the car. Go ahead and check my records. Go ahead and check my videos. Go ahead and check my DVDs. Go ahead and check. Lord, check where we go. Check me out. Go ahead, Lord. I don't care. Go ahead. I walk in mine integrity. Look at something else in verse number 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not. He said, I've trusted. You know what he's saying? Go ahead and check my faith. I've trusted in the Lord. Go ahead, Lord, check me out. Examine me. You know that I have faith in you. You know that I put my faith in you and I trust you as my Savior. And Lord, you know that I trust your word. You know. See, can you really lift our hearts? Can we say, Lord, you know I trust your word. You know, let me ask you, how many believe the Bible is the Word of God? Amen. King James Bible, I have a King James. So you're Bible believers, right? Yes, can I ask you a question? What role does this Bible play in your life? It's not just enough to say I'm a Bible believer. It's not just enough to say I go to a Bible preaching church and so on, but what role does the Bible play in your life? And then, if the Bible has the proper role, which means you study it, you read it for instruction, you read it to be correction, you read it so that you can be obedient to God, you get fed, you have a personal relationship with Him, and all that the Bible is supposed to be for you, you're getting day by day, and you love it, and the Bible is, you would never make a decision if you knew it went against the Word of God. You live by the Bible, you trust His promises. Even in the ditch, I mean, when things are bad. See, a trial is when your circumstances seem to prove the promises of God untrue. That's when you're being tried. Let me say it again. A trial is when your circumstance seems to prove the promises of God untrue, but they're not. We need to trust God, but God knows whether we do. God knows what you and I really believe about the Bible and its role in our life. Really does. Can you and I lift our heart tonight and say, go ahead, God, check me out. You know I read the Bible and I go to it for instruction, and I set in my heart, I'm never going to, God, if you'll help me, I'm not going to disobey it. I'm going to obey it, and I'm going to listen when the preacher preaches, and I'm going to apply that truth in my life. I want the Word of God to be alive and working in my life. I want to apply it to my life. It's important to me, and I spend time in it. God, you know it. Go ahead and check me out. You want to do that tonight? Go ahead. Just lift your heart to God. Go ahead, God, check me out in my attitude towards the Bible. Check out my faith in the trial. I meet so many complaining, griping Christians. It's like, what is it, Pastor Pryor got that song, the poochie lip will hit you if you don't watch out. So many Christians are okay as long as everything else is okay. They're happy because the happiness is happy. But as soon as things go wrong, what do? Oh, I can't believe this happened to me. Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. I think I'll eat a worm. And they gripe and complain and fuss and so on. They go through a trial and they whine. But what do you and I do? What do we do when we really go into a trial? Do we have faith in God that God is in control? Does Romans 8:28 still work? All things work together for the good. To say all things are good, said all things work together for the good of those who love God and call according to His purpose. Amen. Is that really true?
Yes, sir. Right.
Huh? So if you have a time or you're really going through it, is the Word of God and God still true and your faith in God still? God knows what it is or not, by the way. Go ahead and ask Him. Yes, check me out, Lord. Is it true? Remember when I went through that, boy, it was really tough, Lord, but boy, did you see me through it. I thank you, Lord, that you helped me, and the Word of God was precious to me, and man, you helped me so much. I thank you, Lord. And God knows you had faith and trusted Him through that trial? God can look at your faith and you say, Lord, you know that I had faith in you and my decisions. I made decisions by faith. I trusted in you and I got counsel and I prayed my way through, and I never made these decisions until I went to you and by faith I called upon you and I asked you to help me, and I've tried my best to make decisions in your will. I think I might have mentioned this last time I preached. I don't know. I got a sermon that I preached on about yesterday, and how in the past you can't forget the past. You can forget the past, but you can't do the past over. The past cannot be changed. But that's not true in every case, because see, today will be tomorrow's past, right? The next day I'll have 2 days in my past. The next day 3 days. So I can say, yes, past last Sunday in the past. Alright, so now I have a past. So if on Sunday I make right decisions and pray my way and seek counsel and make right decisions, then the next day I'm not going to have a regret.
Amen.
See? And if I go the next day and I start making decisions, see, that's how you recoup your life. What people do, they make so many bad decisions, they find out that it's really, and by the way, this is true, it's easier to avoid mistakes than it is to repair them. So if I can just say, God, from this moment on, I am going to walk with you and I'm going to trust you and I'm going to pray and I'm going to make my decisions and I'm going to get my decisions and direction from you, and I'm going to do it by faith and trust that you're leading and directing me. Now, do we do that? Do you do that? Can you lift your heart and say, go ahead and check me out, Lord? Wow, the decisions I've made in the last year, you know I prayed, sometimes I even fasted, I sought counsel from the pastor. And I want to tell you this, I pastored for 40 years. I've been saved 59 years. I preached for 48 years. And my pastor is 49 years old. He'll be 50. Or is he 50 yet? No, he'll be 50 this month, I guess. Right? But you know what? And since 2005, I've not made one major decision in my life, not one, without going to my pastor, making an appointment, sitting down with him. And I'm 71 years old, going to be 72 in October. And I've been around the hill, boy. But I know one thing, I need to make sure I make right decisions. One thing, I'm too old, I can't outlive a bad mistake. I can't outlive it, so I want to make sure I make right decisions. See? And so can we lift our hearts and we say, go ahead, God, check me out. I have made right decisions. I prayed and I sought counsel and I sought the word of God. And I made those decisions believing they're in the will of God. Look at verse number 1 again. It said, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. What he's saying is, go ahead, check my determination. You know that I have made up my mind. I ain't going back. I'm not sliding. There's nothing the world has that I want. Check me out. You know in my heart that I don't want anything to do with the stinking rotten world. I don't want its music. I don't want its styles. I don't want its fashions. I don't want its entertainment. I don't want its ungodly wicked talk. I don't want its motives. I don't want its baggage. I don't want anything to do with the world. It stinks. And God says, love not the world or the things of the world. Go ahead, check me out. Check me out, Lord.
Good.
You know I've made up my mind. I ain't going back.
Hey.
Can you say that tonight? Can you say to God, go ahead, God, check me out. In fact, I'm closer to the Lord now than I've ever been in my life. See, the distance between you and God is measured by the distance between you and the world. Can I say that again? The distance between you and God is measured by the distance between you and the world. Yeah. But can you say, not me? God knows in my heart, God knows what I feel, and God knows my heart, I ain't going back. I'm not interested in one bit. Not one, they don't have anything I want. I'm sorry, even I have to work and make a living in it. But I'm going to go out and make a living and be a testimony for God. And God left me here not to make a living, He left me here to be a witness. Can we honestly say to God, go ahead, God, check me out. God, you know I've determined in my heart, I ain't going back. What's to go back to? I am mystified that Paul said of Demas, godly man, fellow servant with Paul, that he writes, I think it's the 2 Timothy, he writes and says, he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I said, here's a saved man called to the ministry, traveling with the greatest Christian. The greatest Christian that we know in the New Testament era, if not all of mankind. Traveling with him, sleeping with him, eating with him, fellowship with him, preaching with him, ministering with him, fasting with him, walking with him, crying with him, laughing with him. And he forsakes that Christian. Loved, not because he got overtaken by sin, but because he loved this present world. I said, how in heaven's name could that happen? And I thought, oh, hey, I know a lot of Christian kids. Been raised in a good church, in a good family, in a good home. And they have forsaken their parents, forsaken their church, forsaken their God, and went out of the world. You know why? Because having loved this present world. Can you tonight say, go ahead, check me out, God. You know in my heart, you know that I've determined I ain't going back. I'm not going to be like John Mark and go back. I'm not going to be like Thomas and start missing church. I'm not going to be like Demas and forsake you for the world. Look at verse number 2. Examine me, Lord. Prove me. Try my reins and my heart. So try my reins. Now, when I was a teenager, a young lad, actually 12 years old, I was raised in southern Michigan, in Belleville, Michigan, out in the country. And I begged my dad and mom to finally help me, and I bought a little 2-year-old buckskin horse. He wasn't broke. I broke him, 12 years old, broke him myself. And then I got a paper route, and I delivered newspapers on back, horseback, 8.5-mile route, and so on. And then I started actually buying and selling horses. I was 14, 15. I'm buying and selling horses. And going and showing them in horse shows and the 4-H fair and all that. And I had a little red horse, roan with white stockings, named Rebel. And I traded him for an ex-police horse, a saddle red horse, another red horse. And he was a long, lanky horse, and he used to be a police horse. And so I traded for him. And he was a rambunctious horse and everything. So my brother, who had a Palomino, that was half quarter horse, we were riding out on this old country road. And I've got the reins, mind. You know, reins is what you control that horse with. His will becomes my will because I use that those reins. The reins represent who's got control of your life. See what I said?
Right,
who's got control of your life? Remember saying, remember, you heard, I think if you remember, I preached in here about being filled with the Holy Spirit one time. Being filled with the Spirit is not a matter of content. It's not putting gas in the gas tank. But it's a matter of control. It's putting a driver behind the wheel of your life. And the Holy Spirit is supposed to control and run your life.
Amen.
But see, those reins, when he said, try my reins, he said, try my will. Go ahead and check me out, Lord, try my will. Well, I got that horse, and we were riding alongside each other, and almost a mile ahead of us, this dirt road we're on would end in a paved road. So I told him, I said, let's see what they'll do. Let's let them go. So we did. I thought that red horse beat that Palomino. And we took off, and we were running. I mean, full blast. Now, a horse can run 35 to 40 mile an hour. And they can. And this one hunkered down. And we were headed, and all of a sudden, the dead end come, and I could see that paved road. So I pulled in. When I pulled, I found out that that horse had got that bit in his teeth. Like that. And so when I was pulling on it, it wasn't working. I pulled and yanked and jerked, and he had bitten down on that bit. And so I lost all control. I couldn't get him to do anything I wanted. And I'm 14 years old. And I saw Lash LaRue and Roy Rogers and Hopalong Cassidy. And I knew, I've seen the trick riders. And I said, if I hit that paved road riding this horse, he's going to go down, and he's going to fall on me and kill me. So I just rolled off his shoulder, running full blast on the side of the road. I killed myself. I must have rolled and rolled and rolled and caught up, all banged up and cut and bruised. Man, and that horse just went on. But you know what happened? I lost control of it because he took the reins out of my hand. Now let me ask you something. Who's driving your life? Who's got a hold of your reins? Can you look up and say, God, you know that I want your will rather than die. You know, God, I've surrendered my life to you. This is the truth. I lie not. I believe. I would say not every day, but I say 90% of the days I get up, I tell the Lord, Lord, here am I. I want you to have my life. I exercise Romans 12, 1 and 2 over again and give myself new rest. Please, Lord, just have your will in my life. My wife and I pray together. Lord, help us to do your will. I want God's will, not just in my ministry. I want it in my life. I want to do what he wants me to go, where he wants me to go, be what he wants me. And I want to give my reins to God and say, God, you can control me. Go ahead and check me out. Can you say that tonight? Come on, Christian, would you be willing to look up at God and say, go ahead, check me out. You know I've given my will to you. You know that. You know I would die rather than get out of your will. I'm almost done, I think. Look, if you would, please, verse number 2. He says, examine me, O Lord, prove me, try my reins and my heart. You know, he says, go ahead and check my heart, check my compassion. Check what I love. Check the passion. We're going to check my heart, you know. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. In fact, he says, if you love your mother, your father, your brother and sister, even your wife, and even your life more than me, you cannot be my disciple. She's talking about in comparison. The love I have for Jesus, I mean, the love I have for my wife and everything, is to fall short even of the love that I have for the Savior. See? Now, can I say, Lord, we use this word all the time. We say this so often, I love the Lord. And we think, and you know, I'm so glad what you said this morning. It is time for preachers to start saying, hey, God loves a sinner, but he hates a sin.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's angry at the sinner.
That's right.
Well, if he's angry at the sinner, is he angry at us because we sin? Is he angry at us as his children because we disappoint him? I think he is. I think he is. And he's saying, him, check me out. You know, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. You know how much I love you. Go ahead and check me out, Lord. You know I just adore you and I want your will and I'm just so thankful for you loving me and so on. Can you honestly open your heart and say that, God, you know. Would you say tonight, go ahead and check me out. You know how much I love you. Would you like to do that? Let's just do that, Lord. Check it out. You know how much I love you. Look, if you would please, at verse number 3. For thy loving kindness before mine eyes I have walked in thy truth. He said, Lord, go ahead and check it out. You know I've obeyed you. I've walked in thy truth. The word of God was preached. I saw it. For instance, I thought about, you know, the preacher gets up and he preaches about tithing. You know what happened? When I first got saved, I didn't know what. In fact, I was reading my New Testament and I came to this word tithe and I thought it was tip. Tip. What's a tip? Matthew 22. Talked about the Pharisees tithing and coming. So what's a tip? So I went to my Sunday school teacher. I was just brand new saved. Not even saved a month. And I didn't know anything about the Bible. I just know I saved. I knew, you know, I knew it saved John 3:16. I said, what's a tip? He said, tip? I don't know what a tip is. I said, that's right here. Open up the New Testament and show it to him. He said, you mean a tithe? I said, what's a tithe? He said, well, you're supposed to give 10% of your gross income to the Lord's work through your church. I said, what? He said, you're supposed to give 10% of your income to the Lord's work through your church. It's called a tithe, 10%. I said, I can't do that. I'm in debt. He said, can you get out of debt easier by obeying God or disobeying God? I said, I don't like you. And I didn't like him or anybody else or even God for about 3 months. I did, man. I fussed every time and I got around. All he wants my money. You're talking about being stunted for a while in my growth. And then finally, I just got right with God and fell on my knees. Oh, God, I'm going to tithe if I lose everything I have. Huh? But the real truth is, truth came and I didn't want it. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to obey it. See? And so, let me ask you a question. When the Word of God speaks to us, do we answer and say, yes, Lord? Are we obeying God in our life? You say, yes, sir. Well, okay, open up your heart and say, isn't that right, God? Check me out. Check me out. God says, what about this? What about that, huh? Check me out. Check me out. Check me out. Now watch this. Verse number 3, or 4 and 5. Notice it said, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. Now what's he saying? He's saying, Lord, look at my companions. Look who I run with. Look at my friends. First of all, are they lost? Are they carnal? Here it says, I don't walk with the dissembler. That's somebody that tears apart and tears down. I worked on an assembly line, not a dissembly line at Ford's. In fact, the Bible says that in Proverbs, the 6th chapter, it says there are 7 things that God hates. The last one's the one he hates more. You want to know what God hates? The sin that God hates in our life as Christians more than any sin. Said, he that soweth discord among the brethren. Amen. That's dissembling. Yes, that's that person standing around saying, I don't know. You're vomiting all over everybody.
Right.
See, God knows whether we do that or not. God knows whether we listen to it or not. But he said here, go ahead, check me out, Lord. I don't walk with those that dissemble. I don't go with the gripers. I don't go with the critics. I don't run around to people always tearing down and slandering and always got a critical thing, always negative. Negative thinking, stinking thinking. And I don't even want to run. Your negative thing, don't come around me. I don't even want to be with you. I don't want nothing to do with you. Man, but you know what? We're so tendency to be critical. You know, it's interesting, by the way. I pastored for 40 years. I have people in my church that I pastored for a long, long time. I was there 26 years. I pastored for 26 years. I have people I pastored for 20 years, 15 years. And it's interesting how some of them, I could say 10,000 things to help them, and one thing, they get crosswise if I leave the church. And when they do, they usually take somebody with them. You know why? I can yam, 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 yam. You know what? I say, first of all, that person got a critical heart, and not only that, but the person, listen, did not make up their mind. I'm not running with the gossiper, and I'm not running with the slanderer. I'm not running with the critic. I'm not running with them. And I've made up my mind. Go ahead and check me out. Lord, you heard every conversation I've had with everybody, especially say in the last year. Lord, you know that I've not gone with the slanderer. You know I've not listened to you. You know I've rebuked those people. You know that I'm going to be loyal and faithful to you and the Word of God and my pastor and my church.
Amen.
Check me out.
Yep.
Check me out. By the way, he's doing it. Whether we let him or not, he's doing it. Huh? Now I'm almost done. Look in verse number 12. I'm sorry, 6. Verse number 6. I will wash mine hands in innocency. I will compass thine altar, O Lord. You know what he's saying? Go ahead and check me out and see I'm not right with you, Lord. I don't have any unconfessed sins. Go ahead and check me out. Check me out, Lord. I don't have any. I don't have any. Look in Psalms. Psalms 19. Hold your hand here. Just go back to Psalms 19 and look at verse number 12. 19, verse number 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Wow. Man, it seems to me this guy's saying, go ahead and check me out because I want to be right. Is there any hidden sin in there? Is there any unconfessed sin? Is there any bad attitudes in there, Lord? You know that I want to be right with you. And you know I'm trying to keep that heart right with you. And I'm trying to keep my heart clean. Check me out. And then lastly, no, there's two. I'll just mention them. Verse number 7. That I may establish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. You know what he's saying? Go ahead and check my witnessing out. Check me out. Amen. Haven't I been a testimony? Haven't I tried to win people? Haven't I talked to people about the Lord? Haven't I been a good witness? Go ahead. God knows. God knows whether you say, oh, I've got to go soul winning tonight. Man, if I don't, the preacher will be upset. And I hope nobody's home. God knows. God knows. Then lastly, verse number 8 through 12. He said, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thy honor dwelleth. And the rest of it has the same subject, and that is the house of God. God, you know I'm faithful to my church. You know I'm there every time the doors are open. And you know I pray for my church. And I pray for my pastor and staff. I pray for the ministry here. I pray for them. And Lord, I love the church. I love God's people. And I'm just so thankful you gave me a church to go to, and I'm just so thankful, God, and you know I love my church. You know I love my pastor. You know I trust him. Even if he makes a decision I don't like, I still love him. I'm still for him. Huh? You just don't know what it's like to be a pastor. Until you were one, you wouldn't understand. The real truth is, I tell you what, I love my pastor. I pastored my church for 26 years, Brother Bob. Pastor Jerry, 26 years. And when the pastor came to take the church, he said, I'll take the church if the church votes me in on one condition. I said, what's that? He said, you don't leave. I said, Brother Sal, when have you ever heard of a pastor staying in a church? Well, you experience it here. But that's rare. It's rare. Not only that, but your dad preaches many times. I preached my church probably 13, 14 times last year. I've already preached for him this year 3-4 times. And I run a ministry for them. I try everything I can. I tithe there. I go there and I visit and the visitation and everything. I do what I can and everything. And my pastor loves me. And I can tell you, honestly, my pastor, I can tell you, if I'm there, he will not preach a whole message without mentioning me or saying, isn't that right, Dr. Schindler? Dr. Schindler this and everything? About 5 or 6 times in the message. He tells the people I love him. I tell the people I love him. And we love each other. And I'm his blessing and his friend. And he's my friend. And I love my church. I love my people. See? And he loves them. And I thank God for that. And so I said, go ahead and check me out. Isn't that true? What I've just said to you, I can say, go ahead. Isn't that right, Lord? You know it's right. You know it's right. Do I agree with everything my pastor says and does? I don't even agree with everything I say. Of course I don't. Does that make him wrong? No. Just different. Different. I'd do something different than he does. But what he does is not wrong. Just, if I was going to do that, I'd do it different. Not because he's wrong, just because I'm Fred Schindler. But I love my church. Let me ask you something, honestly. Can we say tonight, go ahead and judge me, Lord. Check me out. Check my walk. Go ahead, Lord. Check my walk. Check my will. Check my heart. Check my love. Check my sin. Check me out. Check my companions. Check me out. Lord, is there anything? I won't change it tonight, then, Lord. Let's stand to our feet. I'll be honest, when I got this message, I really lived the message before I preached it. And I really did say, check me out, Lord. And in fact, I preached this message in our church for the first time I ever preached it. And on the way to church, I was running a message, and I got to, and I was running the outline through my life and in my mind, and I got to one part of it, and I said, check me out. And he did, and I said, oops. Oops. I had to spend some time right there and say, Lord, you're right. And I had to confess that, and I had to take that situation to the Lord, take care of it so I can say, check me out, Lord. See, I want it to be clean. I want to be clean. I want to be clean. Now, let me ask you a question. Did God speak to you as you said, and if you did say, check me out? He said, yeah, I'm checking you out, and I see. What about that? Don't you think maybe it might be good to obey what God said?